echte ervaring. Me and my fam take this rap shit serious.
Hey, yo. We are back in the motherfucking building. Episode
1, 2, 3 in the place to be.
Josh is gonna rap. Yeah, this entire episode.
Let's start doing all like it, every episode is just gonna be in one of those old school hip hop. Hey,
that old school routine. Yeah. Fucking Jocko on the mic, old school shit. Episode 101. Oh, my phone is fucking dinging. Episode 101, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your host.
And yeah, we back from hiatus. Y'all have like rocked with us, you know what I'm saying? Episode 100 was the shit. We gave mad shout outs. Y'all listened.
We missed a bunch of people.
So many people was like, oh, yeah, give me no shout out.
Listen. Champagne do that to you. Yep.
Did your pop shout you out today? You know what I'm saying? Your baby mom shout you out at some point today? I don't think so. You expect it from us? You hold us to a higher standard than your own family who don't fuck with you?
Stop doing that.
It don't make sense. But yeah, how's your hiatus been, Josh?
It was good, dog. It was good. My daughter turned 15 yesterday.
Hey.
Well, 2 days ago now.
Happy birthday, India.
Yeah.
Shit. 15.
She old. Yeah, she old now, dog. Crazy.
Jesus, yo.
Crazy.
I've said this on the podcast before. I remember the day you called me and said she was born.
Dog, what's crazy like, is like
vividly
Facebook, because you know, it's always got the memories and shit like that. So like that one day of her birthday or whatever, like the day her birthday and then like the last, like the day before and a couple days after, like, you know, it's always pictures of like birthday parties, shit from her over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
And like just watching it grow is insane in that kind of like way of like, right. Oh, there's a it's picture. Real there's quick another picture. It, there's yeah. another picture.
Jeez.
Like, it's crazy. She's a legit like young woman now.
Right. Wow. Yeah. That's, yeah, yo. I don't want to wax poetic about life and growing old and shit. You know what I'm saying? But like, this shit is wild. I look at my nephew and I'm like, motherfucker, you just came out.
Yeah.
And now you like he, like we were with
he out this year with my son. They both graduated this year.
That's fucking,
you know,
crazy.
Hopefully.
Yeah. They didn't think like we was.
Yeah, exactly.
Might have to get a couple extra years to get out. That's so wild to me that like they're like, I don't want to say fully grown, obviously, because they're not like adults, but like they're human beings who have like their own opinions about shit, and they can like, that would blow my mind. Like if I made a kid,
yeah,
and then, you know, like the time machine goes and a few years later and they walking around my crib like talking about shit,
dog,
that would blow my mind.
My youngest, she's 9, she'll be 10 in September. She, the last couple of weeks, has decided to go to her friend's house instead of coming to my house.
Oh.
So like that path is starting where it's like, oh no, I just want to go hang out with my friend.
Oh man, how did you make friends? You a little baby.
I'm your only friend.
Yo.
I'm the only one you need.
Oh man. I for the past couple of weeks I've been teaching journalism to teenagers at the Village of Arts and Humanities. Shout out to the Village in North Philly. And my class, I got a small class, all girls, teenagers. And it's just mind blowing. Like, I'll be like talking to them about stuff. Like, on day one, this one young lady in my class who's like the quietest one, she talks like real soft, like,
yeah.
And we were talking about like potential subjects for like our final project that we wanted to do later on down the road. And she was like, you know, I'd like to do a piece on colorism in the Black community. I'd like to talk about women's rights and like all this stuff. And she's like 15. these kids are like way better than we were when I was a kid.
But dog, my daughter did a report this year on like the Indian boarding schools.
Oh, wow.
Shit, I didn't know about until like, maybe like 5, 6 years ago.
Come
like,
on.
You know what I mean? Like, she legit was doing a report on like Indian boarding school. She also did a podcast, was one of her projects in school.
Oh, snap.
Where she had to do a podcast.
Was it exactly like this podcast?
Yeah, wow. No, like she, but she just recorded everything on her iPhone, and then she was like, then I had to like figure out how to like go into like iMovie and then like edit it and blah blah blah. And I was like, I don't even know how to do that. Like, I leave that shit to John.
I was gonna say, that's my job.
Jesus.
Yeah, yo, that shit. I can't wait to have kids. I hope that I'm like blessed to have kids. Because that shit.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Have you run into like a student like you were when you were a kid? When you were a kid in this class?
All of these kids are better than me.
Oh, okay, good.
Like, so we're up on the third floor, and it's just me and the girls on the third floor. Second floor is like the music lab where all the kids that like make beats and sing and all that shit, where they do. And then there's the first floor. There's a bunch of kids running around all the time. All of these kids are better than us. We're like better than we were as kids. Like these kids, like, cause if you think about it, would we have voluntarily gone to
There's no way I was in a summer.
You know, some summer program.
Summer school. It was because like, yo, you were failed.
It was compulsory.
Summer school. Yeah,
100%. So like, they get paid to be there. So it's like work. You know what I mean? And we had jobs when we were kids, but like, we wasn't going to like no educational shit unless, like you said, it was summer school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it is. I have not run into a kid.
Nobody just like comes into class and like pulls a book bag over their head and goes to bed and shit.
Not at all. They come in and like, it's not on some like lean on me shit. You know what I mean? But like, they come in and they're like sharp and they're engaged. And of course they're teenagers, so they have different levels. So sometimes, I noticed that they get like a little fatigued as the day wears on, you know what I mean? And they're less, you know, responsive. Sometimes they're like laid ahead on the desk or whatever, and they're like a little tired and checked out. I'm like, I understand, kid.
Yeah.
Your whole metabolism is going crazy, and your hormones and your brain and shit. Like, you know, I feel you. You know what I'm saying? Like this shit, like sometimes you check out a little bit, but like, they're, for the most part, they're like right there. They're engaged. They asking questions. I'm asking them questions. Sometimes it takes a little, you know, you got to pull it out of them a little bit. Yeah. But for the most part, like, it's like the shit. Yeah. I enjoy it.
Y'all never like try to get them like to go do a cipher or something like that in the stairwell or something.
I refuse to rap with any of these kids. I would have shout out to Jess. I remember Jess was working at a school in Frankfurt, and he and I did like an after school program.
Kensington,
like,
I think it was at Kensington.
Was it Kensington?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
So.
And you know, Kensington and Frankfurt. Like, the same shit in my brain. But we definitely would like talk with them about like rhyming and like writing rhymes and shit. I feel like maybe I ciphered with those kids. I would love to rap with kids for real, for real. Maybe not at this job, but like in general, some kids, like, I've done that on the bus. Yeah. I've been the old head on the bus. I swear to God. I've been the old head on the bus where like niggas is like ciphering and shit, and one little bold nigga be like, yo, kick some old head, and I start pulling out bars from like 99 and shit. It's like, I've 100% done that on SEPTA multiple occasions. So you know, when you rap, it'll take much.
No,
you know what I'm saying, for them to like pull it out,
pry it out of you. No, it's good. At least you don't got no kids that come in there and they're just like, yo, I'm writing in my rhyme book all day, fuck this class.
Yeah, no kids like openly challenging my authority.
You don't
like
have to
I
like
did as a kid.
You don't have to like go down to the lunchroom and like catch them cutting like that racist bull Jake Way did to me and shit.
Mr. Jake Way, shout out to Mr. Jake Way, our music teacher.
Well, I don't like you shout out a racist.
He was not a fucking racist. He was a super sweet former hippie guy who was also a classical pianist. He's not a fucking racist at all. Josh used to like fuck with him, and he would punish you, and then you would be like, oh, you a racist, man. Like, he's not even fucking racist.
He was racist. Definitely was racist.
Nah, yeah. He was a sweet guy. Shout out to Mr. Jake Way.
He did wear Clarks all the time, though.
He was wearing Wally's. What old head white man you know was wearing Wally's in 95? It's not like these motherfuckers now. Like, you go to a school in like gentrified Brooklyn somewhere, and this fucking asshole is like teaching you chemistry, and he wearing Clarks, like, ironically, because he grew up on the Wu-Tang. This nigga was like 50 in 95 and was wearing Clarks. Come on, you
can't. Still was racist. Anyway. he wasn't dipping them like marble cake though. So like,
Shout out to Vega. Remember Vega painted his?
Yeah.
But like he painted him with house paint?
Yeah.
Them shits had like cracks in them.
You couldn't wear them bitches in the rain or nothing?
Yeah. At all. Shit start flaking off. My nigga had lead paint Clarks.
Dog. Well, I guess we can get into the news this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yo, did you see the Sean P murals in danger of being fucking painted over?
Yeah, Sean Price, the mural's in Brownsville, right?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Insane. You know, Sean
Brownsville ain't Brownsville no more, though.
Listen, you know when they got nice, fancy, Airbnbs in like Brownsville, Bushwick, shit like that. Like, you know, it's a rat.
Like, go stay on Gun Hill Road. Like,
that's with me and Lissa. Are we part of the problem? When Lissa and I stayed in the Bronx a few summers ago and we went to the Frida Kahlo exhibit, we definitely stayed like right off of Gun Hill Road. Jesus, I'm editing all this out. We used to go to like coffee shops and shit. That's so fucked up. But
yeah, dog, that's crazy when you go like you go to like some super gentrified neighborhood and you're like, yo, I know rap lyrics about this area.
Right. Like, yo, Cam and like Gunplay, not go, Bloodshed was like out on the corner,
yeah,
ciphering this shit. And I know about it in that context, but then you look at it's like just mad.
There's
like
a mayonnaise shop there now.
Mad yoga studios and shit. This shit, we gonna. We'll talk about it. I don't want to divert too much, but yeah. I have a theory on how this whole gentrification shit is gonna end up being like turned around.
Okay.
So I'll tell you after we done. But Sean Price, legendary Boot Camp Click MC, passed away a little bit ago, only a couple years ago.
A couple years ago, yeah.
He passed away. And, you know, the community did what we always do for heroes. Like, they created a mural in his honor in his neighborhood. So, apparently, there's a restaurant probably owned by white folks. You know, let's keep it candid.
Yeah, the building got sold or something like that.
Did the building get
sold? Yeah, the building got sold. And so, like, apparently the new owners want to, like, paint over it.
See, I had read that the restaurant across the street from the building didn't like having this mural of Sean Price staring at their restaurant. Niggas probably making the bananas go bad, staring off of this mural, and that they were like offended by the mural.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, from what I read, that the building got sold, and so it's in danger. Well, what happened maybe is that the building got sold, and this restaurant didn't like the mural, so now they're in contact with the people who are buying the building. Like, yeah, hey, can you paint over that? Because like you have no connection to Sean P. Like, you know what I mean?
Jesus, dog. You know, I said this months ago, probably even last year, and the Hard Times stole it from me and made it into one of their articles or whatever. But we're really at the point where we're gonna have these major cities and these neighborhoods with, you know, Christopher Wallace Way, Nasir Jones Avenue, and all of this other stuff like dedicated to all of these hip-hop artists. But ain't gonna be no black folks in these neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know, like you've seen it, you know, white folks taking selfies in front of like a Biggie mural or something. You know what I mean?
They're going to Marcy Projects. They're like taking selfies in front of the Marcy Projects.
Because they heard that fucking Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. Go to fucking Marcy. It's even in this whole process of Melissa and I are moving at the end of this month.
Yeah.
Because our landlord is selling the house. He's selling the house, one, because the neighborhood's, you know, been rapidly changing. They just put multi-million dollar, like, condos around the corner or whatever. But also, he personally fell on hard times. So he's like, I got to give up the house. You know
yeah, and he probably can make a decent profit off of it right now.
Right. So during this whole process of looking for a new place, we did find a place. So we're going to be in South Philly. But just like searching for housing in this city is depressing.
Oh, I know I got to do it soon, and I'm not like looking forward.
It's fucking depressing. Like,
I'm not looking forward to it.
It's really at the point, you know, we're gonna sell out and do, you know, like the horror for money thing. You'll stay tuned on that one.
Yeah,
but it's really at the point where you're looking like, either I live with a bunch of people. Because that's what a lot of motherfuckers around here do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Live with a bunch of motherfuckers and have roommates when you're like 40. Or live in the jungle. And even in the jungle, you're going to have like a small spot. Yeah. You know what I mean? It ain't like when we was like 20 looking for an apartment.
No, my first apartment was $350 a month. All utilities included.
Like, I remember. And it was a nice size spot.
Yeah.
I remember it.
It was like
shit.
A quote unquote studio type spot. But it was nice. Like it was decent size and shit.
From what I remember, you had a kitchen, a living room, and a bedroom that were separate.
It was listed as a studio. The only thing, like the living room was essentially like as big as your kitchen table type thing. It was like a small little area,
but
it was a huge bedroom,
right?
So like, no, like too, we used to be there, me, you, Vega, no strippers, like, yeah, so
all kind of shit.
We had like a bunch of people, and it wasn't so small that you couldn't fit people. And I paid like $350 a month. I mean, listen, my neighbor was a crackhead, but like, hey, you know what I mean? Do what you gotta do.
Complain about us making noise and shit. Fuck no, you smoke rocks. Get out of here. My first apartment, I paid $550.
Yeah.
That motherfucker was a two-bedroom.
Yeah, you got a two-bedroom
with a goddamn roof deck.
Yeah.
Like, the shit is, the roof deck I had then is bigger than the one at our new spot. Like, that shit was huge. The ceilings was tall and shit. It's looking now at places. It's either, you know, you live somewhere with a bunch of people, you live in the jungle, or you become like independently wealthy, and then you can live in some dumb fucking stucco building,
converted church.
Oh my god, dog, that shit is so many. Because you know, gentrifiers, they don't have no like respect for like religion or like spirituality or anything. That's like such the wave now. Like, there's you force all the black folks out, so the churches and the schools, you know, become abandoned or whatever, and then they just, some developer just turns this church. I hope y'all motherfuckers get haunted. I don't know if ghosts hang out in churches, but like, I hope
Jesus does. Jesus gonna haunt you.
I mean, the Bible says the Lord doesn't dwell within houses made by hands, but you know, some old shit, you know what I mean, pull that out. But I hope that a lot of y'all motherfuckers get haunted by like a old black lady in a big fucking church
hat.
With like the fucking
the fan
with Martin Luther King and JFK on the other side, and the fucking knee-high white socks and shit. This shit is really disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This whole thing. And to tie it back to the Sean Price thing, I think the most insulting part of it, for me at least, is that you can have, I understand neighborhoods change.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm from Uptown. That used to be, fucking Noam Chomsky grew up in my neighborhood. Uptown, or West Oak Lane, used to be like a Jewish area.
Yeah.
So I understand that neighborhoods change. The most insulting thing about gentrification to me is that you have a community with its own cultural temperament, its own values, and all of that stuff, and some fucking yokel from Kansas can move there and completely change and just overrule, just by virtue of being white and having money, can overrule like an embedded culture in a neighborhood.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. Just an insult, dog. Like, it's that shit, it like burns me up to think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's arbitrary. Y'all motherfuckers, this week you love, I don't know, kale smoothies. So now, you know, whatever building used to be, whatever it used to be, is now a fucking juice bar.
Yeah.
Just because kale smoothies like, are the wave now.
Biggie's old apartment, the one room shack with a, you know, that junk, it goes for like $5,000 a month.
That's insane.
In Brooklyn. Like,
that makes sense though, because when I was in Brooklyn with my man Margell. Shout out Margell. And we were hanging with a few of his homies, and they were paying about that,
yeah,
for a not so big apartment. And it was, and I remember I didn't know exactly where I was. He had the address, so we just hopped on the train and went to meet them. And but I knew the streets from like a Biggie song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He like said some shit about like Fordham or whatever. Like I think that's what he said. We was like around there. So I was like, oh, I know this from like a Biggie song. I don't know Brooklyn. You know, Brooklyn's like a fucking planet.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's just insane that these prices are going up, but we're gonna get to a point where we're gonna recognize that rent should be capped by income and that housing is a universal right.
Yeah.
That's basically what I was alluding to earlier about how a lot of this shit is gonna get turned around. But I don't know if the cities like, you know, neighborhoods like Brownsville or like North Philly, West Philly, it may get to a point where like all the like non-white people who don't have money have to just live on the perimeter of the cities.
I was telling a friend of mine who, well, we're not cool anymore, but I had a friend who lived in Atlanta, and I straight told her, I was like, yo, in 10 years, like, I probably won't be, like, unless, like, fortunes change, I wouldn't be able to live in the city of Philadelphia.
It's crazy.
It's like the prices, the rent prices are insane.
Yeah.
And the buying is no simpler. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So like, yeah, you're gonna have to live on the periphery of the city. Like, you're not gonna be able to live anywhere near the city.
I'm not moving to Norristown, dog. I'm not fucking doing it. I'm not fucking living in fucking Ambler.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Move to Jenkintown.
Nah, it's not happening. It's not fucking happening. So, you know, if y'all tune in to this podcast and we doing some complete bullshit.
Yeah, you know exactly why.
Getting this bread, you know.
Listen, man, Ray gotta get paid.
Listen, I am not. Like, if I leave the city of Philadelphia, I'm leaving.
Yeah. We're
gonna move to Europe or fucking Ghana or some shit. I'm not living in no nut ass suburb.
Yeah.
Not doing it. Not on some like cool shit or whatever. You know what I mean? But I'm not living outside of my city that I grew up in. You
Definitely.
Know what I mean? In Sharon Hill or some shit.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. If it's not the Philadelphia metropolitan area, we go live in fucking France or something. We go live in Ghana or something. Like, I'm not doing that shit. I'm not living in Norristown.
The only thing I will say too that's good about you guys moving is I'll never have to sit behind a fucking trolley for 30 minutes for what should be a 4-minute ride. Yo, that is the most annoying shit when I come here, dog. Like,
yeah.
And like, the crazy thing is, it doesn't matter. Every fucking block around here has a trolley joint on it, so you get stuck behind every one of them.
I think it's because we do it earlier in the week, and that's when, like, a lot of times it'll be like the trash pickup. So I know it'll be a trash truck doing the route, and then a trolley behind it, and then all the traffic behind
that. I'll be sitting there like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, like, a bus, you can get around a lot of times because they pull over and shit like that.
Yeah.
The trolley don't pull over. It's just in a straight line. Yeah. You just get stuck behind it.
Yeah. You got to take, like, a little side street or some shit.
Yeah. That's one thing I will not miss coming out here is the trolley, dog.
Yeah. We're going to be in fucking South Philly.
Yeah.
I've been, like, reading up everything about racism in South Philly. Trying to get myself acclimated.
Yeah, avoid like Second Street, dog. Like, you know what I mean? Avoid the mummers.
Yo, like, I talked about this on the podcast. We definitely went to go eat Mexican food at like the spot that's like all blue and shit. Got like the real good Mexican food. We went down there on New Year's Day and forgot. It was like Mummer Town. Because New Year's Day, Liz and I, we usually go out and like eat lunch somewhere.
Yeah.
That's like our little ritual. But yeah, though, it was like mad mummers down there and shit. That shit was weird.
Yeah.
So fucking weird. Yeah. But yeah, though, you know, I know we kind of went off on a tangent, but there is a petition for the Sean Price mural. I don't know how effective it's going to be, you know. I don't understand these motherfuckers hate. Yeah, I just don't hate get art. Like,
you
want to
move? You want to move into the neighborhood because of like a lot of it is of like, oh, you know, this is, you know, Brownsville, blah blah blah. But then like
it's culture,
yeah. But then like they want to erase the culture that's there. Like that just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it happens all over.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. In other news, did you see that Jay-Z has reunited with Jazzo?
I was just watching
Hawaiian Sophie?
No. I'm never watching Hawaiian Sophie. Now I was just watching Ain't No Nigga.
Oh, okay.
And, like, Foxy and Jay and Dave and at the bar, and Jazzo is in the video doing the hook, or doing part of the hook.
Yeah, he just signed on to Roc Nation. I don't know if he's gonna like drop an album or anything.
Yeah,
but it's good to see these dudes. Like they were beefing hard at one point. You know, what I mean?
I hated that shit. I hated to see, you know, a cat beefing with a cat that brought him in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like I that shit, like, it never sat right with me that them two were beefing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I legit still believe that the first verse of Song Cry is about Jazzo.
Probably.
It's not like, if you listen to the verse, it's not like the second and third verse that are like more very like about women.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about that. Like, yeah. If you listen to it, he never really even implies that it's about a woman.
Yeah.
So I always thought it was about the relationship with him and Jazzo. Like, you know,
and
what
Jay's
I mean?
Good for that. Like putting like the personal shit in the bars.
Yeah, I'm going to have to text Jay and find out. Like,
yeah,
we got to
holler at Jay.
Well, I'll text Blue and then have Blue, you know what I mean, put me in contact with a pop.
There's no way Jay or Beyonce have a phone. There's no fucking way.
Yeah, I would like. They seem like the type that are just like, no. They like their assistants have phones.
I wouldn't have no phone, dog.
You know what I mean?
I just have a motherfucker stand next to me on the phone.
You have a phone that like three people have the phone number, like your mom, your wife, and
Chris
your kid.
Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Like
some random fucking famous person.
Yeah, like Warren Buffett has his number. Like that's it. Like, you know what I mean? Like those are the only people that have your phone number because you don't want to be bothered with anybody else.
You know, Bleak got that number though.
Oh yeah, Bleak definitely got that.
My man Bleak.
Jay has Bleak's number in the phone and just lets him know, like, yo, I need a shooter, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Is Bleak out here clapping people for Jay?
He still says he would. Like, he says, like, you know what I mean?
Y'all too old for that, dog.
I was listening to an interview with him recently, and he was like, listen, you know, I am a millionaire because I'm in this will somewhere. Just believe, like, yeah. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm never worrying about money. I don't think you would.
Yeah.
Like, Jay seems like the very, like, because he, like, his cousin and shit like that, and, like, they all, like, are very, like, tight-knit.
Yeah.
And, like, they, like, he made sure, like, they all got, like, positions in, you know what I mean, in the company and stuff like that.
And Jazzo, just to tie it back to that, he always struck me as a dude who's, like, real sharp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what, you know, this signing is, you know, what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's like an artist thing or what, but like, yeah, like bring, like dance with who brought you to the dance.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like I love to see this shit. You know what I mean? I don't know. Obviously we don't know these motherfuckers, but like, I don't want to see these cats beefing and like, shit was ugly when it was happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when, slightly different, but like when Pete Rock and CL was beefing, I hated that shit, dog.
Now, I don't like to see
hated that
on
shit.
On top of the fact that, like, these dudes, like, you know, you guys were super tight, and then, like, money gets involved, and, like, fame is involved, and those kind of things, and then all of a sudden, like, now, like, yo, we don't like each other no more.
Dog.
And that shit just is corny, and it's not any, like, to even put blame on anybody's side of just being like, yo, some people just, like, when that kind of shit happens,
the game split motherfuckers up.
Yeah, and that shit's whack.
Man, you gonna beef like a motherfucker.
Oh yeah,
I could feel it.
Yeah, definitely.
I hate it, but you know,
but that reunion tour is gonna be amazing.
Listen, I hate the fact that you and I are gonna beef, but I also hate being poor.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I don't know. This podcast is gonna be amazing.
Man, we talking a lot of shit over here.
This podcast is gonna be
edit that shit out.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's shout out to them. It's dope to see them reconciling.
Back to back, John.
He drove here playing ARA. Dog, that shit, Philly ain't shit. Like, I love Philly. Philly ain't shit, dog. When Back to Back came out, we'd be like in the bar and shit, and the DJ would play that shit. I remember we was out Southwest, and what the fuck is the name of that shit? It's one of them bars that's like a hood bar. It's
Trendsetters?
Like, it wasn't. It's across the street from Trendsetters.
Okay.
It's one of the joints. It's like Chucky's or some shit. It's like one of the joints that's named after the nigga that started it.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a hood bar. So we was in there and it was right with Back to Back was like scorching. Dog, the DJ played that shit. Niggas was singing. You know how niggas sing Dreams and Nightmares?
Yeah.
Niggas was singing Back to Back word for word. I was looking around. I was like, Philly ain't shit, dog. I'd be so mad if I was Meek looking around and seeing this shit. But he don't care. He's a fucking millionaire.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Girl's pie to the world's pie. Yeah.
That's what you're going to say when you listen to our old podcast.
The girl's pie to your world pie. You know what I mean?
Yo, so, you know, I don't want to. That was a good one. I like that. I don't want to divert too far. But yeah, you know, shout out to Jay. Shout out to Jazz for working that shit out. I would like to see Jazz make some music or do some fucking executive shit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? They let all these other motherfuckers.
OG Wan is up there being an executive and
come
shit.
On.
You know what I mean? So
you got all your... Jake, like... Me and Lisa were talking about this the other day, and she asked me if I thought Jay was the greatest. I'm going to say yes, in the sense that he got the skill... plus the catalog, plus the cultural impact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jay is not my favorite MC. I enjoy him a lot. You know what I'm saying? But he's not like my favorite rapper. As far as like that greatest conversation and the combination of all those things that I mentioned, you can't fuck with this motherfucker. He bailing niggas out in Ferguson and Baltimore and shit. Yeah. That puts you up there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of motherfuckers are arguing over this like Freddie Gibbs versus Doom thing. I love Gibbs and Doom. Doom to me, Freddie Gibbs can't touch Doom because Doom birthed so many young motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I'll give you
cultural impact.
I'm not a big Doom fan. I prefer Gibbs over Doom as far as like MCing. But no, a cultural impact. Doom like made a huge, like he made a cult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he made an impact. Like you said, he birthed so many other MCs.
We was talking about it on Facebook or Twitter. It might have been Twitter. I was like, yo, MF Doom gave us whole I Future, Earl Tyler.
He gave
all
us a generation of MCs.
All these motherfuckers, yo. All these motherfuckers making like this lo-fi shit.
Yeah.
You know, No Name. If you listen to No Name old shit when she was No Name Gypsy, you could tell she sounded like Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Her patterns and everything. He birthed, like you said, a whole generation. And motherfuckers was coming at me for saying that. Like, oh, what you mean? I'm like, dog, if you know music and if you knew what hip hop was like before Mad Villainy came out and then after.
Yeah.
It's clear. It's clear. I don't want to get too far off. But yeah. You want to talk about this Rocky thing?
I was going to say, we can skip if you want.
Do you want to?
It's up to you.
Free ASAP Rocky.
Yeah.
even though he said a bad thing that we don't like, free that motherfucker because free all people. We were talking about it earlier. Martin Luther King said...
an injustice anywhere is an injustice
everywhere. ASAP Rocky is locked up in Sweden. Some folks are like, oh, I don't give a fuck because, you know, he expressed that he didn't give a fuck about the Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter mean the whole damn family. Even motherfuckers that are whack and have whack opinions. So that's all I really wanted to say on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Free that motherfucker. And then hopefully he come out of this shit a little more enlightened.
Older and wiser, yeah. Maybe he come out like Meek did when Meek came out with like a whole new perspective.
That's the thing. That's the fucking thing. You know what
I mean? A couple years ago, Meek was paying homeless people to do push-ups on the street.
He was, yo.
You know what I mean? And now
he's trying to get motherfuckers out.
Yeah. So like people keep growing and evolve. Sorry, that's how shit works. Listen. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Someone who hasn't grown or evolved, Jermaine Dupri. Nah, this, I'm not going to disrespect Jermaine Dupri. That's a joke.
I mean, he hasn't grown. He is really short.
I mean, I might be shorter than I was, you know, 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not
because they put me on this stretching rack every day at fucking therapy. It stretched me like a damn, like those torture jaws back in the day. Like they just pull you on either side. I go on that shit twice a day in therapy.
Jesus, dog. They used to put me on the joint that was like the table.
Yeah.
And mind you, I hadn't stood up for 2 months.
Yeah.
And they would put me on the table that would like make me stand and like be like bending me in all kind of angles. That shit. Therapy is torture.
Yeah,
therapy is really torture. Physical therapy,
it sucks.
So yeah, I don't want to sidebar too much, but Jermaine Dupri was asked about, you know, women rappers in the hip hop game. I didn't see the full interviews.
Me
I don't know the context of which. We gotta start doing that too. We gotta start watching like the shit that we commenting on, but edit that out. But you know, he said that basically he don't fuck with a lot of this shit. I'm assuming he means Cardi, Meg, City Girls, all of this shit, because it's just Jones rapping about stripping. You know what I mean? And there's been like a whole, this is a debate in hip hop every week on the internet. You know what I mean? So I don't even take this shit too seriously. But
well, like the biggest thing I saw someone say was like, this is the first time women have charted in like forever. Like now women are like charting again.
Yeah. Like a motherfucker.
Yeah. And he's like, and so like as soon as that happens, like these dudes get their panties in a bunch and now they're like upset because, you know, like, listen, dog, like where's
because he dissed the women. I want to give full context. He dissed them like, yo, I don't fuck with that shit.
Yeah.
Because they don't talk about nothing but stripping or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like sex.
And again, like that is a super outsider criticism. Like that's a criticism like, oh, all rappers do is talk about money and sex and blah, blah, blah. And it's
right.
Like, no, like there's a whole dichotomy of like, that's like saying like all movies are about money and sex. Like, no, there's a whole dichotomy of like what things exist where.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like all country music isn't about like drinking and horses. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's a whole, like there's music, like inside the music there's all different types of categories.
Yeah, variety. Yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely. Like to, as Jermaine Dupri, to make that comment, like, dude, you prove you're an outsider when you do those kind of things.
Right. And the hypocrisy of it that stood out to me, there was no problem with music that dealt with sex, because this isn't just coming from Jermaine Dupri. I've seen a lot of dudes. I had a dude tell me on Facebook that he don't fuck with Cardi because she don't make positive music. I'm like, dog, Mobb Deep, I love Mobb Deep, rest in peace to Prodigy. Mobb Deep was talking about rock you in the face, stab your brain with your nose bone. The music that we grew up on was so violent. I love the Beat Nuts. I was listening to the Beat Nuts the other day, dog. Come on. J-Lo stole that shit. I was listening to the Beat Nuts the other day. My man on the song was literally talking about raping a joint. Literally talking about holding a woman down and raping her. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I didn't even peep.
Yeah.
You know, a kid, you know, stuff flies by you or whatever, or you don't think about it. Music that we grew up on was so violent, so obsessed with sex. Now that there's women talking about sex from their own perspective and not from a subordinate position, men are mad about it.
Yeah.
That's the point, well, basically.
Doug, I mean, one of the most like seminal albums of like our youth, The Purple Tape. Mm-hmm. Legit has a line, let's celebrate and sniff an eighth.
Like, we talking about positive music. That's the thing. Men can say all kind of reckless, antisocial, crazy shit on the mic, and I support, you know, to degrees, I support everybody's right to say ridiculous shit on the mic. You know what I'm saying? But as soon as women are like, you know, real ass bitch, give a fuck about a nigga. You know what I mean? Dudes are triggered by this shit, and dudes are like, "Oh man, I can't take it." What about the children?
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Get out of here.
On top of the fact that, like, not like Lil Kim and Foxy wasn't talking about fucking all the time too, and
right.
The again, like on the aspect of like being an outsider, it's like there's plenty of women that don't talk about that. Rhapsody, No Name, like, you know what I mean? And if they did, that's perfectly
that's cool
fucking
too.
Prerogative.
Yeah.
Like they're allowed to talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Right.
You can, like, I think a large part of it is because I got into this with somebody on Twitter the other day, was like, well, I brought up like a Rhapsody and No Name, and they were like, well, there's nobody else out there. I said, no, there's plenty of like Lil Sims. There's plenty of female, you know, there's plenty of women rappers that,
yeah,
that don't talk about like sex all the time. That's not like their main prerogative, right?
Right.
Or are former strippers, whatever.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, but that's not what's popular. And I said, well, isn't that more of a reflection of like society as a whole and what men want to see? Like, there's that whole thing of like, you know, the woman's body is the most controversial thing in the world. Men always want to see it until you show it to them, and then you're a whore for showing it to them.
Right. 100%.
Like, that's the thing. You want to hear these women talk about sex until they talk about sex on their, like, until they control that they're talking about sex, and then it's a problem.
Because y'all motherfuckers don't listen to Rhapsody.
No.
These motherfuckers, it's so crazy to me that there's this pressure and this demand that women be demure and like desexualized and cover it up, you know what I'm saying? But the women who, not calling them like demure or desexualized, but the women who don't, or artists who don't lead with their sexuality, yeah, y'all don't listen to them no way. God bless.
How many of y'all bought a Jean Grey album?
Come on. Ever. God bless Sean Price. Rest in peace, Sean Price. When Sean Price came out in that interview and he was like joking around or whatever and was like, I don't listen to no female rappers, B. A lot of y'all real hip hop niggas who are like, you know, what about the children standing up for lyricism or female lyricists and all of that? A lot of y'all motherfuckers co-signed that shit when he said that. Because that's really how y'all feel. You know what I'm saying? So like, if we could call a spade, we could have real honest conversations. But until men, and a lot of times, frankly, we talked about this with my students in the class yesterday. A lot of times men can't have honest discussions about how they feel because they don't fucking, or we don't fucking know.
Yeah, they're not in touch with themselves enough to understand.
We're not tuned in. So men see somebody like Megan Thee Stallion or Cardi and they're triggered by them, they don't even know why they feel the way they feel. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that I can always explain the way I feel. I could tell you why I don't like some shit most of the time, but sometimes I can't. A lot of men have these outdated views about what a man is, what a woman is, what masculinity is, what femininity is, what's proper, what should be allowed. And we bring this into the world and we argue these points like they're just facts. They're just this unassailable facts that, you know, a woman shouldn't do X, Y, Z. But we don't examine why we feel that way or where or what conditioning led us to feel that way. Our opinions are facts. You know what I'm saying? So it's just bugged out to me that women like Rhapsody or No Name are used as really like a scapegoat to attack women like City Girls or Cardi or whoever. Well, yeah, motherfuckers not listening to them women.
And even like you get that with like you, and this is more of a like a problem societal wise. Anyway, like you look at like women who are vulgar in their comedy will get criticized for being vulgar in their comedy or talking about sex. Meanwhile, like though when we grew up, that was a whole like
genre. I mean?
Yeah, like
Dice Clay and shit.
Yeah, like that was a whole thing, and it still is a whole thing to just be like dudes to be really super vulgar with what they talk about. But a guy can do that. Like it's okay for a guy to be super vulgar in what he says.
Right.
It's a woman, like, you know, she shouldn't say stuff like that.
Right.
That's not womanly. Like that's not how shit works, dog.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, you know, people are going to get thrown up there as like, and I've heard male MCs talk about this shit with like almost deaf when they go like, you know, all this rap that's violent and blah, blah, blah. Like you got guys like Mos Def, they need to talk about it. Like you need to be more, they need to be listened to more. And like guys like, I don't want to be used as like the contradiction. Like I make the music I make and I love what Jay-Z makes, so let Jay-Z make what he makes and let me make what I make.
There was a lot of that shit in like the 2000s in particular when like Jay was really, you know, like ascending in the early 2000s. There was a lot of that, like, oh well, you know, he talking about selling drugs and popping Cristal and all of that. What we really need to be doing is listening to the roots. That kind of stuff is really like built into the way we talk about rap.
Yeah.
And it's whack, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon. You know what I'm saying? Because you're getting more people who have access to the music and the culture in a way, but less education and less experience in the culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you can comment on a nigga said to me on a Hip Hop DX post earlier today that I was a dummy and I'm not old enough to remember Stillmatic. And I looked at this nigga profile pic and he like 24. Yeah. I'm like, dog, I'm like 40. That out. But I'm like, dog, so just because he disagreed with what I said. I was around when
Illmatic came out. Chill. Like, right. You know what I mean?
So it's this kind of weird ecosystem of like debate, you know, and social media. That's weird. And it's kind of ramped up this whole Jermaine Dupri thing. Because frankly, he could have said this in the Source magazine in like 1997.
Yeah, exactly.
And no one would care. It would be like, or somebody would care, but it would be like a non-issue. The fact that that interview can go viral quickly around the world and everybody weighs in on it, it makes it a more intense topic of discussion.
Yeah.
You know, so it's to me at least, it's rooted in hypocrisy. I see men on the internet in hip hop discussions approach it this way all the time. What's good for the goose ain't good for the gander. Women have to be held to a higher, unrealistic standard than men are. Dudes could talk about they dick all day. Could talk about getting pussy all day, but a woman talks about her actual pussy that she walk around in the world with. Like you said, it's a problem.
Yeah. Besides, Jermaine, did you pay Tretch for that jump shit yet?
Wow, I'm editing that out.
No, don't pay. Don't edit that out.
We don't know that. I ain't seen no paperwork to say he owed Tretch. I take Tretch word.
Yeah, exactly.
Edit that shit out.
Listen, if between the two of them, I'd fight Jermaine Dupri over fighting Tretch.
I'm not worried about Tretch fighting. I'm not worried about fighting either one of these niggas. I'm talking about the accuracy of what we
allegedly
reporting on.
There you go.
There we go.
The great, just cleared it all up.
The great equalizer. You want to wrap up?
Yeah, we can start talking about. Did you listen to anything new this week?
A little bit. Not what we have listed, though.
What'd you listen to?
I just a bunch of shit. I just been.
You listen to that Al Jarreau rap?
Yes. I just did.
Trash.
I'm editing all of that out. I'm gonna explain to y'all why. I love you, my man Steve Deneen, a bunch of y'all. And I never ever pull this card. Y'all don't. I say y'all don't understand what he's doing. And y'all don't understand
the
value in what he's doing.
I understand that he's trying to make like a jazzy track, like a scat track, like that. It's straight called scat. What's it called? Scat music or something like that?
Rap Al Jarreau.
Yeah, no, but it's like, it's got a subtitle.
It's not a hashtag, you know, like scat something. Yeah.
I understand. I just don't like the song.
I feel you. You can't call Legends trash.
Didn't say he was trash. I said the song was trash.
No, it don't work that way.
Yeah, it does.
Nah,
yeah,
it don't work that way. Shout out to Nas. Fly God is an awesome guy. I haven't listened to this shit yet.
Hey, listen, I will say it's probably the best since what's the one with the red cover that like
Fly God.
Fly God.
Yeah.
And then like there's God and there's Fly God, praise both. It's probably the best thing since then.
Shit.
It's really, 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 really good.
No, I'm a fuck with it. I'm a fuck with it. Also, I'm gonna edit this out. The fact that
that
real shit, because like I saw like before I listened to it, that shit kind of made me not immediately press play.
Yeah.
Now I don't know if he knows.
He probably don't. Like,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? But like, yeah, same thing with Blyantel too, because he's on that shit too. That made me be like,
yeah.
I paused a little bit, but I'm gonna listen to this shit though.
Yeah, yeah. It's I think it's probably the best thing he's released since then. Like, that's, since those earlier releases.
That's what I keep hearing, that that shit is hard.
Yeah, it goes hard. It goes real hard. Fucking some of the shit on there. And, like, it's really him just, like, just so late. Like, that. It's like peak West Side of just talking fly shit, being super relaxed on shit. Yeah. And then, like, everybody else coming super hard. Like, shit. You know what I mean? But they've, I mean, they dropped some, like, the Benny joint is insane.
Yeah.
This joint is insane. I really can't wait for the one with all three of them on it.
I was going to say, are they doing, is that, like, the Shady thing?
Yeah, that's going to be the one them? That's officially on Shady.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can't wait for that. After these first two releases for the year, like, I really am excited for that joint.
Yeah.
Also, there's the Coke Wave 4 with French Montana and Max B.
Yeah? Shout out to Max B, dog. Max B is in the Bing, and he dropping records. I played that shit. What's that shit? It's like, it sound like the Sade shit.
Uh-huh.
It's like, na 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 na. I played that shit the other night.
Yeah.
It sound crazy. Shout out to him for, like,
I think he's in, like, a halfway home right now or something like that.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, so he about to be out.
Yeah.
Really? See, I didn't know that. I thought he was
pretty sure he's, like, in a halfway home right now.
That's crazy. I thought he was still locked up.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's in a halfway house right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to do, like, a year or so there or some shit like that.
Oh, wow.
But, like, he's in, like, a halfway house now.
These records, like, them shit sound like this motherfucker in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and this is, like, you know, it's definitely a mixtape joint where it's got, like, these older beats and stuff like that around. But what it does is make me really hunger for, like, when Max can drop, like, a full, and actually I would actually love, like, a Max and French joint project to drop. Like, I really, make me go, like, yo, I can't wait for that to happen.
Their chemistry, you know, you might not fuck with French Montana or you might not fuck with Max B. Their chemistry is the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 100%. I would say he's a better, or you know, Max, he came into his own more fucking with French than he ever did
with
Jim and like Dipset and all of them.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he, and like it helped evolve French as like as an artist. And then like, you know, while Max was up for like 10 or so years, like it gave French, expanded himself as an MC and shit like that. So like, I'm really excited to hear like that project together when it comes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Shit, Max B about to get out of jail.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear? And this is completely unrelated, but just like news, like crazy news. This just made me think of it. Did you hear that they said that they cured HIV in like two people?
No, I heard they did it in like mice.
Yeah,
mice.
Yeah. Wow. We smoking Woo Bangers before we did this shit.
Mices. God damn. See, good. That's why I'm not a teacher. You are, dog.
I can edit this shit out, though. It's all good.
No, I did hear that in Temple that they cured it. Like, they found no traces of HIV in the mice.
It's fucking crazy, yo.
Yeah.
They really out here curing AIDS.
Yeah, whatever magic cure he got, like, they finally brought it out to the public, yo.
Dog. Shout out to Magic for not murdering Howard Stern in 1995. You're a bigger man than all of us, Magic.
They say like his shit doesn't even like come up anymore.
Really?
Yeah, his like red blood cell count is so high now that he doesn't even show traces anymore.
Holy shit.
And like that's the medicine now is just like that. Like the people it's now different. Like yeah, like when we was kids, motherfuckers died of that shit. Like you just died of that shit.
Motherfucker around our way died off of that shit. As I was researching a piece, and we can wrap up, but I was researching a piece last year about the Red Hot and Cool Stolen Moments documentary. It's a documentary. Basically they like did a film about hip hop, jazz, and the HIV AIDS crisis. So like the Far Side is in it.
Yeah.
Guru, Donald Byrd. It's just like is all the jazz and like hip hop people you want to see are in this film. And then they have a lot of like the talking head interviews are with people living with AIDS, HIV AIDS activists and all of that. And back then, and this was I think it was like 94, back then like they were making strides with the medicines, but like you said, motherfuckers was dying off of that shit. Let alone in the '80s when motherfuckers were like that shit was taking people out of here.
Was like, yo, no, it doesn't exist. It's a gay disease.
A lot of my research was about the Reagan administration too, and he frankly he said in meetings like. It's all good. Let them rock out.
Yep.
And people are dying off of this shit. It's just, it's a beautiful, amazing thing to see that strides are being made for this shit. When the cure comes, like, I pray and hope in my heart that it's something that's distributed, like, freely. Free as the fucking wind. You know what I'm saying? Because in America, we have this problem of, like, private healthcare, private pharmaceuticals, so they have like cures and treatments for shit, but a lot of times people can't afford it.
No, my mom just got diagnosed with diabetes, and like she's begging the doctor to give her a chance to like drop her, you know, her sugar on her own because she can't afford it. She can't afford insulin.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like she just can't. She can't afford insulin. She's on Medicare and she can't afford insulin.
Yeah, dog. Like, GoPuff dinged my phone last night and was like, today's ice cream day, GoPuff. And they just had like mad ice cream on sale. And I was like, nope, not gonna do it. I'm not gonna fuck around. You know what I mean?
Like, dog, it is crazy. Like the way prices are with medicine and stuff, man. Like, so hopefully this shit, like, they get out and they get it out to the people and people who need it, shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. But, absolutely. You know, shout out. Listen, man, science is a motherfucker.
Come on. Shout out to science.
Before we say our goodbyes, don't forget, Saturday, July 27th at Tattooed Mom at 12:30, we will be at PodFest. It'll be a live show. It's Philly free. PodFest.
5th and South Street in Philly.
Free show. Come down. This will be our last one. We won't have one before then because, you know, we talked about John's moving. So we'll be off another like couple weeks to get that whole situation situated and shit like that. But we didn't want to go like a whole like month and a half without like a podcast. So, and hopefully we'll get like the live show recording and we'll be able to post that. So you guys have another show in between the times too.
That's real.
But yes, July 27th at 12:30, we'll be at Tattooed Mom. And we'll be doing a live show for free. So come on out.
Come and fuck with us. You know, we
there's a bunch of shows there that day, too. Yeah. So come hang out.
Can we drink while we do it?
I am.
We're going to drink and tell reckless stories.
Yeah.
There. So
you want to hear reckless stories, come on down.
Come through. No condoms in any of these stories.
No.
So, yeah. No. Come fuck with us.
Did you see that Philly Podfest that was floating around where it's like useful things for condoms? And it was like... to wrap up bananas. It was to like to put over your feet.
Put the feet when it's walking in the rain. Yeah, I saw that shit.
I was sitting there going like, hey, listen, man, you know, it's more useful than what I would ever use them for.
Got to use them for something.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of them in a drawer that don't get used. So, Jesus. Like, I might as well use them for that.
I'm editing all of this out.
Nah, fuck that.
I hope my kids, though, like the students, I hope they don't find this fucking podcast.
I'm going to post it.
No.
I'm going to find them and post it.
I fucking... I randomly we're done. Turn this off. Don't worry about this shit. I randomly mentioned the podcast the other day, and I immediately wanted to like
take that back
or to cut my fucking tongue out after I
said the Doctor Strange time stone that shit.
Right? Yo. And I said to them, I was like, all right, don't look me up on social media. If you don't look me up, I won't look you up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this motherfucker's probably looking me up.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, we will be back
in a couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's on and popping.
Yep.
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah, I was mad as shit at myself, dog. I was like, yeah, you know, man got a podcast.
Me and my fam pick this rap shit.